The good people of Trenton deserve way better representation. Four members of the council are breaking the law. That's our daily situation. We don't need these people at the top who are only out for themselves. If the people of Trenton won't act now, our town will be a living hell. Let's focus only on the positives here at Trenton Waves. Can we ask you all to describe your dream city today? My dream Trenton would be without Kathy McBride and Robin Vaughn, without Santiago Rodriguez and Sonia Wilkins, that's for sure. We won't let them ever defeat us. Your Trenton Waves with Frank and Christina.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I got lost in the intros.
I got lost. I almost forgot I was about to talk. How you feeling? Got a haircut.
Thank you.
Looks really nice.
Oh, thank you.
All right, listen. So far, and this show is different than the rest.
We
focus on the candidate.
Right.
This week we have another candidate.
Yes.
Coming at you,
mm-hmm.
live and in the flesh.
Just to be clear, we've already done a few of these, and if you've missed them, don't be upset, because you can always go back and listen to them
right.
in the past.
Don't be upset.
Right. Yeah. So let's jump right in.
Okay. So we have back with us podcast, yeah? That's right. The formidable, yet lovely, Annette Lateague is back with us, the former West Ward Councilwoman of Trenton, New Jersey. Who better
yes.
to have on the show that's focused around candidates
yes.
than someone who's done the job?
That's right. You know what I mean? I learn something every time we've sat down.
Well, this is where we bring her in.
Mm-hmm.
Because so far, we've learned about the power of the clerk,
mm-hmm.
which I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
We learned about zero-based budgeting, which mm-hmm. I never knew anything about.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, she has a lot more experience in being a council member
mm-hmm.
than we have with even going to council meetings.
Correct.
So, Annette, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
People are digging you, I got to say.
Mm-hmm. I'm digging me, too.
You should write a book, Humility and How I Achieved It.
I know, because it drives him crazy. I love it.
It does.
All right. So what is the wisdom this week? Something that people may not have known.
Well, one of the things I think everybody needs to know, if you're ever at a meeting or listening to a meeting and you hear a council member say, when did they purchase that? I didn't know anything about that. All spending goes through the council for approval. The only time that would be a post as opposed to a pre-issue is if there's an emergency.
All right.
Whenever there's an emergency, the CEO, who is the mayor, has the authority to move right through and deal with that emergency and then advise council.
Okay.
Now, did you say the CEO is the mayor? Is that what you just said?
The mayor's the top dog in the city, yes.
So he's clearly not.
No, he clearly is.
No, the council, I would think, is, based on what you're saying.
Council is the balance. The mayor sets the vision and drives the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the CEO.
Well, it's got to be, you have to have a council that can work with the mayor.
It's important. See, for so long, people have been under the impression that you're a puppet if you're not fighting the mayor. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
You're a puppet if you're not fighting the mayor.
If you're right. not fighting the mayor. Right. That's something that's long been encouraged
right.
by certain groups in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Shall remain nameless.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is, when the mayor presents something, if you don't agree with it, you have the conversation.
Right. Okay.
And you try to come to a meeting of the minds. For example, mayor, you know, I know that you want the fence to be yellow on this project. However, I'm more interested, and it's more cost effective
right.
if it's blue.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about that?
Right.
You cannot come to a consensus. You don't have to vote for it. But mm-hmm. you don't have to fight either.
Right.
See, what has happened these past years is folks are under the impression that every disagreement has to be a win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It should first be a discussion and then a decision. period, okay. that works in the best interest of the people. So there you have it, sir.
All right. So well, I just had,
along the lines of what you were saying, if a council person says, how did that happen? They should know where that money went unless it's an emergency.
Absolutely. Okay. If there's money being spent.
They should know.
They should know.
Gotcha. Okay.
They should know.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'm going to add that to the list.
There's no reason for them not to know.
Right.
Because they're getting the information.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
That's a little bit.
Very important.
Clear.
Mm-hmm. All right. So just so you know, candidates that have not requested a booking on this show, you have until Tuesday, November 1st, and then we take it from there, which God help you.
Oh, dear.
The person running for North Ward Council is with us today, Jennifer Williams. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Welcome.
You're very, very welcome. Okay, Jennifer, you have 10 minutes. Here you go.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Williams, and I'm running for North Ward City Council here in my hometown of Trenton, New Jersey. In lieu of kind of doing something ad lib, I'm going to try to use a lot of things I said at my announcement speech, which I think are very pertinent. And we'll cover a lot of territory. First of all, I'm very proud to say that I'm running for Northwood City Council. This is my hometown of Trenton, New Jersey. And I know that this campaign is going to be a challenging one because we have a lot of challenges throughout our city. But it's a campaign and it's going to be a race in which we can win and win it for the good people of the North Ward. And over these past weeks, in the summertime, particularly of high temperatures and ill-temperate inaction on City Council, I've been all over the North Ward and I've spoken with too many Trentonians who are frustrated, annoyed, and disgusted with some of the behaviors and obstructionism exhibited during City Council meetings and the lack of progress that has resulted. That is why my campaign slogan is Respect, Honor, Commitment, Trenton. On City Council and in our city, we must respect each other and ourselves. No questions asked. We must bring honor to ourselves, our neighborhoods, and our city. It doesn't cost a thing to do that, and it brings you so much in life. We must make a commitment to our city, our fellow citizens, and ourselves to go the extra mile and work to make Trenton its best every single day. And a great journey takes a first committed step. Simple things like tearing down abandoned, boarded up properties and cutting down overgrown grass to dump trucks and contractor vehicles illegally parking overnight in residential neighborhoods, to the big things like the lack of private industry development creating plenty of jobs, diversifying our economy, and giving everyone a more fair and equitable chance to own where they live or to move to a better place within our capital city. But there is a lot of hope out there too. I met one woman when I was campaigning who's lived in Trenton most of her life, and she has it tough, but it isn't giving up. She owns her home, but is stuck living next to a property that has been long abandoned and boarded up, but it is infested with rodents and snakes. And these snakes actually go into her cellar. She must put up with this situation every day, yet she still has some hope that the city will help remedy the situation by tearing down that abandoned property. However, the city cannot do that unless monies devoted to such efforts are approved by City Council. And I agree with asking tough questions about how and where the money will be used, but if my tough questions are answered, I sure as heck am going to vote yes to help homeowners such as this woman whom I met. On City Council, when I'm elected, there will be many things to consider, speak out upon, and to vote for or not vote for. And I'd like to take a few moments just to now speak about some of the specific issues. People are hungry for jobs located here in Trenton, not just in the suburbs that they have to travel to. Big business jobs and small business jobs. Our small business owners provide much of our city economy, and more businesses and industry here means more money for them to hire more people, Trentonians. Recently, the federal government had released past jobs reports, and they stated, particularly in July this summer, that 528,000 new jobs were created in America. That was the highest number we've had this year, I believe. But how many of those jobs were created in Trenton? Going door to door, I've been blessed to chat with many Trentonians, and my heart sank each time someone shared their struggles to find employment with me. Each time, I would write down suggestions for state websites and unemployment places that they could visit, and I told folks how to look for jobs with the state of New Jersey even. But as one man said to me, not everyone could work for the state, even if it is our big employer. He is right, and our next city council must help fix that situation. I hope that a few years from now, we will have helped more private industry come to Trenton so more people can live, work, and play here. With me as their next North Ward City Council person, I think we can make that happen. Remaking Trenton into a place where more Trentonians can live, work, and play doesn't just hinge on economic development. We must become a safer city. City Council can have a major impact on that through the city and police budgets and how personnel issues are guided from the top down on occasion. My approach to policing and protecting our community is this. equality, and our public safety. Every Trentonian wants streets that are not only paved but are safe to walk down. Every Trentonian should feel safe and at ease when they see a member of our police force, no matter what that Trentonian looks like, who they are, or where they live. Along with equality and public safety, we must become a cleaner, safer, and healthier city. We must improve living conditions in the neighborhoods and properties that need them the most. Clean streets are safer, healthier streets. And across this city, residents are asking for more inspectors to be hired. That's not a new issue. With more inspectors, more property owners will need to bring up their properties to a higher, more livable standard. And if we do this, more neighborhoods will become more stabilized for homeowners and renters alike. And when that happens, more home developers will come to Trenton to build more affordable and market rate housing. The United States Census recently reported that only 39% of Trenton residents are owner occupied. We must increase that percentage so more Trentonians who want to own a home can do so and eventually build legacy wealth for themselves and their families, let alone have good, decent housing to live in. If we can create more economic development jobs here, we can finally begin to defeat the scourge that has haunted us for decades. That scourge is poverty. Poverty of the pocketbook, poverty of the mind, poverty of the soul. In Trenton, we are rich in the number of fighters we have, the talent that is here, and the amount of hustle and drive in so many people. How else can one explain an Atting Moe, Terrence the Heat Cawthon, Ike Williams, Ernie Kovacs, Sarah Dash, Daniela Cotton, Richard Kine, Poor Righteous Teachers, and Strong Peeps, and so many others who have made it? We have much and many whom we can celebrate. Just recently, the Trenton Film Festival occurred in our city over 3 days, and that is an important event which I hope many will support each year, especially this year and going forward, because this past year was the 20th anniversary of the Trenton Film Society's creation by some film-obsessed and arts-oriented Trentonians and Trenton business owners. And just to take a quick second, Mr. Sasso, who's with us, he created the logo that is used today, 20 years later. I know that because I was there as I served as artistic director and later as the Trenton Film Festival's director. Some said that the Trenton Film Festival wouldn't last and no one would come to a city without a movie theater. Thousands of people have come to Trenton to see a film festival since those early years, and I'm proud of those who are carrying the TFF forward today. We must continue and encourage this administration and future administrations to expand and support our city's artistic and historical offerings. We have some good things happening now, like Art All Day, the Levitt AMP Concert Series, Artworks, Patches Theater, the Old Barracks, and so many others. And as I've heard, next year we will have Art All Night coming back to Trenton. Thank God. Thank you to all of those who've been involved in these activities for their hard work and their patience and their inspiration. On City Council, you will always have a friend in me. We must also become a more environmentally friendly and safe city. Our city is making some great strides towards doing so. As a member and as chair of the Zoning Board, I have witnessed the good works of our Planning Department and Zoning Section to make our city a more healthy city throughout its encouragement of more greenery and less asphalt. I will fight for more of that to help make the North Ward in Trenton have cleaner and healthier air, just as I've always fought for cleaner, healthier water since the effort to sell our suburban pipes was stopped. And one last thing, I promise that I will work very hard to liaison with the state, the county, and our city officials and local stakeholders to get sound walls built along the portions of the Route 1 expressway going through Trenton's neighborhoods. It runs only through the North Ward. Quiet neighborhoods are healthier, safer neighborhoods, and we deserve them. City Council and Trenton can do big things such as sound walls, and at the same time, we can and must fulfill our legal responsibilities as a council by approving required water and sewer bond payments and increased tax levies for our school system. I don't want to raise anyone's taxes, but we are statutorily required by the state to meet those financial obligations. This election is an extremely important one. I don't need to tell any Trentonian, or unfortunately people outside of Trenton, that the tenor and the demeanor of our past city council is not reflective of the people who live in the city. I believe our city is a welcoming city to everyone. We need to pick ourselves up. We need to show that and make good decisions. And I believe that starts with this election on November 8th. And I believe that I will be elected to become our North Ward City Council person. And I ask for everyone's vote who lives in a North Ward is registered. I'll save you time and I'll save your money. Let's make this city better. Let's make it happen now.
Wow, 30 seconds to spare. Wow. Jennifer did that with 30 seconds left.
North Ward. Where is the North Ward right now?
That's very interesting because some parts of the West Ward got moved into the North Ward. Some parts of the South Ward got moved into the North Ward. There's part of actually Chambersburg, which runs from where Chestnut was, Unity Park, which used to be Columbus Park, down towards South Clinton and out towards Baird Street. over towards the train station, that is now in a North Ward. Okay. And when I grew up for most of my life, that was in the East Ward.
Okay. And people are kind of aware of that now, right, who are actually in the wards? Are they still?
I'm finding as I talk to voters, some of the ones who got shifted, they have not received a notice in the mail. Mm-hmm. They are not aware of it. I had one lady, she refuses to vote in this election for anyone because she grew up in the house she grew up in, and she grew up in the South Ward. She refuses to say that she's from the North Ward.
Okay. Mm,
okay.
So
okay.
How sad.
Yeah.
It is sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Annette, what do you think of this one?
I feel so, like I'm on Shark Tank.
You're so rough.
What? I just want to get to the point.
Okay.
That's why we're here today.
All right.
It's not a typical episode.
We have to let him in because he controls the mic.
That's right. That's right. I'm a mute button away from total freedom.
He has a key.
He knows how to work it.
Too. Great job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great job. I'm always excited about people participating. The more the better for me. A lot of people don't like that, but I do. And so you talked about, you know, budgeting. You got that in there in terms of taxes and what you would do and what you wouldn't do. You do realize there's a structural deficit.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, we can't pay our own way. It's a big generational problem. It's not a problem just showed up. It's something that creates a lot of resentment with the suburbs and with the state that they have to fund Trenton to such a high level. Our budget for the school system, I believe, is $426 million. I believe the city budget is well over $200 million. I believe it's like $221, if I remember the last time I looked. And when the state has to fund us to such a level and we can't do it ourselves, we can't control our own tax system. We have to constantly raise taxes to make up our end of that structural deficit. And that's not really unfair. It's unfair to our seniors. It's unfair to people starting out. And I think, quite frankly, it comes to civic pride. When you can't pay your own way, when you can't make your own way, you feel dependent upon the state government, and we are. We're dependent on the whims. If they decided that they wanted to move a lot of these state agencies to the suburbs, and that's slowly happening. Some of the health department has moved out to Hamilton Township. That would devastate our economy. And that's why I'm a firm believer we have to start bringing in some of the private businesses that want to come here. We had recently a pharmaceutical company that wanted to come and build in North Trenton. And if we don't do that, I think that structural deficit is going to outlive me. It'll outlive probably my children's lives. And I don't know that we'll ever be able to make that up, but we can sure make it in a lot better than we have it presently. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that because you had to deal with that directly.
Wow, that's pretty good. I like that. I like your first statement. We can't pay our own way. Yeah. However, the state is not doing us any favors. They sit on prime property.
Yes, they do.
And the pilot that they provide for city payment in lieu of taxes does nowhere near meets the need of the property that they're sitting on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So 100%. Hippie IA to the health department moving to Hamilton. Let them have a state building that's not paying taxes. Yeah, and good. Hamilton's all right with me, but it's just the way it goes. If you look around, you'll find that most state buildings such as ours, the larger bulk, mm-hmm. are in urban cities. They sit on a lot of prime property.
Yes, and this is a national problem. Jackson, Mississippi is very similar.
Really?
They're not paying taxes.
Yeah, we visited there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it impacts the city.
At 4 o'clock every day, there's the fleeing of the state workers.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. They're fleeing. They're leaving here. Mm-hmm. That's a topic for another day, but that you made some very good points. We can't pay our own way. So understanding that, there are things that we can do a little bit different in terms of making some strides. And that is electing a new council.
Yes, ma'am.
A council who is committed to working with the mayor to ensure that the needs of the residents are first met. We should never sell any part of the water department. That's a revenue source for us.
Right.
We don't have a lot of revenue. We don't have a lot of sources. As a matter of fact, legitimately, that's the only source. Taxes have to happen by law. But the water department, and that has to happen because it's a utility, is our real source of revenue.
It's our greatest asset.
It's our greatest asset. So there's no selling the pipes, the anything. I voted against that. I didn't think it was a good idea then. I don't think it's a good idea now. And as much as the other municipalities are screaming, I understand, you know, some dig a well.
Yeah, because, let them scream, yeah, please.
Right?
We're doing what we need to do to make this happen. It's not as if we want your water to be brown. You can go anywhere in the United States and find that when there's floodwaters, when there's a lot of rain, mm-hmm. there's going to be some residuals. There's going to be some impact to the water department. So until these municipalities get up on that and stop scapegoating Trenton, they're going to continue to talk about purchasing our revenue. We can't let that happen under any circumstances. Right. So great conversation.
Thank you.
The other thing is, you talked a little bit about why you got in the race. Just expand on that a little bit for me. What made you want to run?
One of the things that I saw over time, and obviously the past 4 years are its own stretch of time, but being on zoning board before I even became chair is seeing the level of properties that we were dealing with. Like even, for example, a lot of people drive down Route 1 and you see that sea of solar panels that we built. That was a $17 million project. Mm-hmm. We've gone from that, when that was approved, to different buildings that were going to be taken, you know, Lee overalls, et cetera. That came up as a topic for a long time for condos. We've had other buildings. But we've gone from those level, we're talking million-dollar projects, to now a lot of the projects are very small business improvements. Corner store wants to put in a cooking hood. Auto detailing place. And these are great. God bless these small entrepreneurs who want to do it. We need them to succeed. But that's not going to change our city. That's not going to provide the mass and the jobs. To me, having been a person who grew up in the city, I was born at St. Francis Hospital a few weeks after the riots. We've lived under the specter of what happened with the riots, what led up to that. But we've never been able to get away economically from the poverty that happened in the past 40 years, particularly. And I think we have, if we don't solve that, if we don't start reversing that by having people be able to have jobs here, walk through the jobs in the tradition of the Roebling factories, et cetera, we're not going to be able to climb our way out of it. And that structural deficit will always exist because we won't have tax ratables. Mm. We won't have ways to make up our own budget. But the biggest thing I think is we're not able to give our children, the future generations, a future, let alone our seniors. I talked to one on the phone last night, a comfortable retirement, a comfortable way to live. And we have to start treating ourselves better. Mm-hmm. As one Trentonian said to me, we live in a culture of failure. I think that has to stop now. I think we can. If we lift each other up, we stand at the barricade and say, you're not taking our water system. That's one thing right off the bat. And then we look back inward and do all the things we need to improve ourselves, because I think we can do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's going to take a lot to jumpstart that. And if we can make a symbol of what the city's starting to become, like in the early 2000s, we were doing well for quite a while. And then, unfortunately, the crash of 2008 happened. And when that happened, Trenton and Irvington, other urban cities, we got devastated way more than the suburbs did. And the suburbs were able to climb out of it. We're still kind of climbing out of it economically in a lot of ways.
Annette, back to my original question that I asked last time. You talked about advocacy. My question is, everything that Jennifer's talking about doing, as a council person, can she do that? Does she have that power to do that?
Some of what she's talking about is realistic. It really is.
As a council
because
person.
Because she said some key things in her discussion, liaisoning with the state, with local officials, you know, and with other people. And that's really what it's going to take to liaison, because let me tell you about
to bring those things to pass.
These landlords.
Don't even
grumble. So at 39%, and let's just say we have 100% for the sake of argument. 39% are owner-occupied. The rest are rentals from landlords. Absentee landlords, mostly. Now, there are a handful of good landlords.
We're landlords. We have a property right next door to us.
All right.
You're okay.
You say there's a handful.
Can I move in there?
Yes.
Go. Anyway, being able to liaison. We have to deal with the state and the laws impacting landlords, because that's a holdup for us.
Right.
It's
right.
Not that the mayor hasn't tried. We have to deal with the laws governing landlords at the state level. And that's where your liaison talk comes in at.
Yes, ma'am.
Sure that's does. Important. Sure does. Because
so that's where that
being
happens.
Able to liaison makes it, we could raise sand all day long about the landlords who are absent and not doing what they need to do. But then there are laws above us that kind of protect them and give them a little extra cushion. I think we form absentee landlord task force. As a matter of fact, I'm saying that because there's somebody else who's already talking about that.
Well, that's something I could definitely be a part of.
There's somebody already talking
about that. That's a board I would join.
And that task can and should be formed in partnerships. And perhaps the other person who's running in another ward can partner with you to do that. But the idea is to be able to liaison. You got to be able to talk to people.
Right.
You have to be able to reach out and get things done.
Right.
You know, when I was on council, people thought whatever they thought. I mean, you know, whatever it was. But the bottom line is, if you look at the West Ward, I've had some failures. I've also had some great success. The Pennington Avenue Shopping Center is still moving. The Freedom Senior Citizen Building is still moving. Magic Marker had some issues, but it's still moving, still generating taxes. Bellevue Avenue, we cleaned it up from Calhoun Street to Prospect Street. It's still moving along a little bit at a time. She's got the right mindset.
Okay.
She has the right mindset in liaisoning.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to do that. Those things matter because there were so many failures along the way.
Mm-hmm.
People need to know that success can and will happen in partnerships with liaisons and with a real plan.
Mm-hmm.
So your plan as the North Ward Council person would be to partner with other ward councils and at large.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps make the difference. Why should I vote for you?
Because I'm going to make that happen.
Ooh, ooh, wow.
Miss a beat.
Ooh, throw
is she
going to
get a gauntlet. Humility book?
I don't think she needs, one.
I took notes from you, Councilwoman.
Yeah. She bought your last copy, Annette.
Quite frankly.
It was the last one I had.
And I learned this from going to council meetings and looking at what everything happened and being involved on zoning for so long. You are very limited by the Faulkner Act, what you can legally do. It's advised consent, advised consent, advised consent. You can try to walk on different things to the docket. But at the end of the day, your most powerful superpower, if we might say, is the bully pulpit, is being the voice of the people. And those things that happen, like when I've gone around door to door about trees growing over the tops of houses, the woman with, you know, snakes coming in the next door to her, the hole that's in the middle of Pearl Street, it's a sinkhole. And I've reported it. I've been out there several times. They're going to get to it. Okay, well, mm-hmm. if you don't get to it now, I'm a candidate. Wait till it happens when I become the council person for that street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be all over it because mm-hmm. people shouldn't have to live with conditions like that.
Right.
And I think being one of seven, and I've seen this, and as I know you know this, Councilwoman, when you're the ward member, you get the phone calls. You get this is a problem. You get that's a problem. The at-large folks, and this is my observation, they don't get those phone calls. They don't get the folks saying, how come you didn't fix this? How come you didn't fix that? And one of the things I tried to do a long time ago when I would come to city councils, I would actually say, thank you for making this happen. Too often, council members, they only hear the bad stuff. They never hear the good stuff or when people say, good job to you.
Mm-hmm. But I don't want to leave with the idea that that the council people don't have power. They do.
They do. They do.
And the opportunity to present plans and to sit down with the administration and talk about some of those plans and how they can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been for 20 years, my wife and I, well, I can speak for myself. I mean, I always thought the council, that that's where it ends. That's it. The council says it, that's it. Or they can make some stuff happen. And I, sitting down with you the past few episodes, I'm learning that's not necessarily the case.
Without partnerships.
Right.
You have to have partnerships. You have to be able to liaison. And that was my point in explaining some of the things that I got mm-hmm. done.
Right, right. Because you have to be able to get along with somebody.
You have to be able to get along to do it.
Even if you don't
have to like them.
Right. No. There you go. Right, right.
But you have to work collaboratively.
You have to be able to work in partnership and build together.
Right.
That's important.
Downtown would be your area, right? It's the North Ward. Mm-hmm. So what do you, is this even possible for a council person? What do you think of offering incentives for people to live downtown? And also, once they do live downtown, because I know they do this in Philly, getting some kind of a parking permit where maybe they pay a nominal fee for the year and they have a parking permit, they can park anywhere, you know, in the downtown area, where they're not going to get towed, and just make their life a little easier. And then maybe downtown will seem a little more welcoming for people to actually live in. Is that something that a council person can put forth?
I think that's something that we could definitely put forth. And I think it's something we have to look at. For the long time, we had the upstairs downstairs program, which is supposed to be putting in a first floor retail, and above that would be residential.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no choice but to do that. We have to have some mass in downtown with people actually living there.
Mm-hmm.
Broadchurch Bank Building was supposed to do that. Unfortunately, it hasn't worked out exactly what we wanted to have happen years ago. Some would say fail. I think it's something we can do going forward and become basically have the incentive program. I'm sure the state has something either if they don't already have it on the books that they would write. Maybe DCA would be able to help with that. For example, if you go and drive downtown in almost any other northeastern city, Washington, Boston, et cetera, and I would, and it granted millions of people, but I would put us in that league because we have to be able to do what they're doing. Maybe it's on a microcosm level, but we're not going to be able to draw people downtown unless they can park, just like you said. And we have the Liberty Commons parking garage. There's got to be a way to figure out how that could be a partner with this. People have their cars secured. They're not off the street. They're off the street. So then the business owners can have a flow of traffic and customers coming in. But at the end of the day, unless the government gets involved in incentive programs, even a la like when Mill Hill section back in the 70s, they had the homesteading program where people took shells of properties, bought them at really low prices, but then they had to put all the sweat equity and the equity in and then live in those properties. We still have some abandoned properties in the downtown area. That would be a great way to jumpstart that,
right,
along with some of what you mentioned in your question. I think that is exactly what we have to do.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's very good. Well, again, it does come down to that advocacy and being able to get along and liaisoning between the state and the city and not just trying to be an entity unto yourself. Well, no, thank you.
Thanks for that. Yeah. I'm going to leave it with three things. Number one, I'm still a big-time firm believer in having a non-residency tax.
Yeah.
For people who work here and don't live here.
Absolutely.
They have it in Paramus, and they did it with Paramus.
Right.
So
that'd
Bergen be awesome. County figured it out. Second thing is, I'm really looking forward to the Trenton Film Festival, the next one.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be exciting, and I'm really excited that Old Night is coming back. So,
oh yeah.
That's being amazing. Said, this has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves. In the great words of Mr. Mike Tyson, everyone's got a plan
until they get punched in the face. Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.